Fasten your seatbelts and turn up your radio. We're going on a road trip.
See the curtains hanging in the window in the evening on a Friday night. Little light is shining through the window, let me know everything's all right. Summer breeze makes me feel fine, blowing through the jasmine in my mind. Summer breeze makes me feel fine, blowing through the jasmine in my mind.
Oh, summer really is coming, and what could be better than spending a summer afternoon in a comfy hammock, sipping an ice-cold drink, reading a good book? Not much, if you ask me. I'm Shereen Seward. Today on Route 51, we'll help you build your summer reading list with the help of two special guests. First, local author Victoria Houston will join us to talk about the latest installment in her Loon Lake series. Like the rest of the books in that incredible series, Dead Big Dog is set in the Northwoods of Wisconsin and has a definite fishing theme. Victoria's new book will be out next month. We'll also welcome Dan Richter, marketing specialist for the Marathon County Public Library, to the show to discuss the most highly anticipated new releases of the season. You can join the conversation, too, and give your recommendations, ask some questions. Call us at 800-780-9742. Victoria and Dan, welcome to Route 51.
Good morning.
Good morning.
Thanks so much. Victoria, your latest book is coming to stores, June 11th, yes?
It's coming June 11th officially, but many stores will be receiving copies over the next few weeks, too.
Oh, okay, so. Good to know. Can you give us a brief synopsis? Yeah, just tell us what Dead Big Dog is about. What's it about?
Well, there are two events that occur kind of simultaneously that disturbed the lives of my three main characters. One is that a Chicago industrialist and his wife are both found dead in their home, and it becomes apparent quickly that it may have been a murder-suicide or it may have been a double murder. At the same time, a small sawmill operation discovers that hackers from a foreign country have taken over their dusty little PC in their garage, their personal computer, and are using it to gain entry to banks and healthcare institutions across the country. So there are two different, very different kind of situations going on that complicate the lives of the police chief, Llewellyn Ferris, and her right-hand forensic dental specialist, Dr. Paul Osborne, mm-hmm. whom we call Doc. And then she gets help, too, from Ray Pratt, who's sort of a fishing guide with a lot of misdemeanors that make him give him good access to all the wrong people.
He is quite a character, I have to tell you. It's you do such a great job with character development. And this is the 19th book in the Loon Lake series. Am I correct?
It is, and thank God they didn't tell me that at the beginning. I would have had a nervous breakdown that I was going to write 19. I was, 19 years ago, I was happy to get a contract for 3.
Oh, so, was it hard to get published in the beginning?
Yes, I would say. I don't know that it was hard to get published. It was hard for me to make the transition from writing nonfiction to fiction, because I had published 7 nonfiction books sort of focusing on different family issues. Mm-hmm. And then when I wanted to switch to writing a mystery, for about 4 years, I did a bad job. So finally, my agent said, give it up. And then I was fortunate to find a good writing workshop in New York City. And then, one thing led to another, and I kind of stumbled into figuring out how to show, not tell, on the page.
And that is a big challenge for writers, I know. I would also imagine that it's got to be a challenge to keep the content fresh. This is your 19th installment in this series, and every book is just as fresh as the last one. How do you do that?
Oh, thank you. Well, I think what makes a difference for me is that I'm just a fanatic newspaper reader. And so as I'm reading daily print copies of the Wall Street Journal and the New York Times and the Washington Post online, and clipping stories out of there, there's always something new and different that kind of fires up the imagination, like, oh, you know, this could happen. And in fact, since you have a library expert here on the line with us, I was going to mention that the key thing, one of the key sort of factors happening in this particular story was spurred by a library talk that I gave in Belleville, Wisconsin.
Oh,
and
cool.
Belleville, Wisconsin, if you've been there, is a pretty tiny town. So I gave the talk this about 2 years ago. Then I go home, and about a month or so later, there's an article in the New York Times that they've discovered these foreign hackers breaking in to, and actually I changed sort of the circumstances, but it was a small company, a small welding operation in Belleville that had these, you know, individuals, these crooks from Asia using their old PC that they used only for billing people. They were getting into that computer and using that for access across the country. And in fact, it was one of only six hacking operations like that in the United States. So, you know, what are the chances that's going to happen, you know, right next door in Wisconsin?
Well, sure. But I mean, that's the cool thing about your books. These things can happen anywhere. Mm-hmm. and I know Dan was telling me that your books are incredibly popular with readers.
They are. And I was wondering, Victoria, how do you deal with fans of the book series, you know, who come to talk to you at your readings and your signings and maybe throw ideas at you or, you know, request, you know, I wish that these characters would do this or get together, or, you know, how do you filter outside ideas with your own and take on those, I guess, kind of requests from fans and things like that?
Well, you know, if they have their own ideas about a mystery, I suggest they put their butt in the chair and write their own book. But it's funny what you're mentioning, because I cannot tell you. Well, there are two things. Number one, so many people ask me if Lou and Doc are going to get married. And I just say, you know, I have to talk it over with them. And then another thing that I get a kick out of is I've had a number of older gentlemen take me aside after I've, you know, done a book signing or given a talk, and they'll say, you know, I have to compliment you. You really understand the romantic life of an older man. And I get such a kick out of those. And the other one, going back to Ray Pratt, that character, the fishing guide, several times I've had women come up and say, name and phone number, I'll support him. So, you know, people connect in a personal way, and that makes me feel good.
Yeah, it's a testament to your writing that they seem so realistic to people and are so lifelike. So,
thank you.
I think one of the most enjoyable things about reading your books is being from North Central Wisconsin. We had a lake place north of Rhinelander and passed the Boom Bay Bar on our way to our lake place every summer, and I got a kick out of seeing that noted in your book. And then I graduated from Rhinelander High School, so a lot of the things that are in your books just resonate with me, as I'm sure they do with other people who are familiar with the North Woods.
Well, thank you, and I think it goes to the heart of something that I think is critical in reading any fiction, and it certainly is for me. When I enjoy fiction by writers, certainly who are not from the North Woods, but what I need is that air of authenticity, that they are writing from what they know deep inside. So if you're someone who grew up in Kansas City and you set a story in Los Angeles, you know, that doesn't ring true for me. Whereas if you set your story in Kansas City, where you're from, and, you know, everything is just sort of amplified by virtue of being so authentic. And I think that's what works for me, writing from here, because I grew up here. And, of course, at 18, I couldn't wait to get out of town. But I'd always come back in the summers. I was always pulled back. And 30 years later, I've moved back here. And I don't think I could write these books if I didn't live here. Although when I first started to write a mystery, I did set it elsewhere. And then when I finally found my way to set the setting here, which happened when someone critiqued an early story of mine and said, at first I was going to suggest this person go back to school because the story was actually set in Kansas City. As a matter of fact, where I had lived for 15 years. But they said, when the story turned to Wisconsin, it just sparkled. It just came alive. And that's how I knew I had to set my stories here.
That's interesting. And I think that you hit on something that's really important, that authenticity. That's what really shines when we read these books and what makes them so enjoyable to readers.
Yeah, I would think that the local flavor really adds almost an element of being another character. It's like Shireen said, places that people know in real life, and they can really, I think, put themselves in probably the shoes of the characters, knowing these real life places exist and have been there before.
Right. But I have to say, there's a funny thing, because it's still fiction. So even though you might be able to identify the place I'm talking about, I put them where I need them for my characters. So for example, something like Boombay Bar or McNaughton, or something that you might just intuitively identify while reading, but you'll notice that it's only 10 or 15 minutes away from where the characters are located. And I had that's my privilege. I can put these where I want them.
Right.
And I had a reader complain, sent me an email and said, I'll never read another one of your books because you put a casino on Highway 45 and there's no casino there. To which I responded, please consider the F word, fiction.
I love it. Well,
go ahead.
I was just going to say, yeah, it's true. You think about Rhinelander or a Minocqua or a McNaughton, and you hear Spider Lake Road, you think all these things. But yes, there's a definite line between the fiction and the reality.
And I'd like to tell, you know, people always ask me if there's a real Loon Lake. And I say, you know, there are 14 in Wisconsin, real, you know, towns named Loon Lake. But mine is like Brigadoon, you know, it's mythical. It hovers overhead, and it's got elements of Rhinelander and Three Lakes and Minocqua and Eagle River. But it is very definitely north of Wausau and south of Waters Meet. So.
Okay. Can I ask you about the titles? What's the deal with the titles? They all start with Dead, and then they have where do you get the titles from?
Well, the titles all have either names of fishing lures or trout flies. And it happened because when I started the series, the very first book I submitted was titled Dead Creek. But it was actually the second one published. But that was the first one submitted. And then I had synopses of two more books in that proposal. And they had different titles, but Berkeley, which is a division of Penguin, when they accepted it, once they decided to publish the next two books, their marketing team titled them Dead Angler and Dead Water. Mm-hmm. And I thought, we're going to get in trouble here because these people in New York City don't get a lot of fresh air. And if I'm not careful, you know, we're going to have Dead Duck will be the next one in line. So with that, I took control. And that's when I started to use either fishing lures or trout flies. And the funny thing is, I have to decide on that title before I can start the book. So I'm always poring over either catalogs of muskie and, you know, bass lures or wonderful catalogs also of trout flies, dry flies, wet flies, streamers. And, you know, they're just wonderful names of these things. Now, they are not clues to what happens in the book. They are just the title that gets me going. And usually somewhere along the line, one of the characters uses either the lure.
Yes.
Muskie fishing or out fly fishing.
I noticed that. I think that's really cool. But I really wanted people to understand where those titles came from. And I think that's neat. I really am curious. Do you see continuing with the Loon Lake series indefinitely? Or do you ever think about writing a standalone or even a new series altogether?
You know, I've tried a standalone. That didn't really work for me at the time. And a new series is unlikely. What I might consider doing, currently I'm not continuing the Loon Lake series only because, and I shouldn't even mention this because then I'll jinx it, but there is a well-established television producer pitching doing a series on the Loon Lake mysteries.
Ooh.
And so I'm waiting to see if that happens. Now, please, I have a son who is a award-winning game show and comedy writer in Los Angeles, and I can tell you it is a crazy business. So
sure.
Who knows if this is actually going to happen. But if it does happen, then I'd probably like to do another book or two in the series. Mm-hmm. You know, I have some good ideas. And I made an important decision years ago. And this is based on my early career, which was in the newspaper syndication business when I worked with a lot of cartoonists like Gary Trudeau, who does Doonesbury,
sure.
and Gary Larson, who did The Far Side, and Kathy Geiswhite. Anyway, those cartoonists had to make a decision. Oh, Calvin and Hobbes.
Oh,
really good example.
Okay.
Are you going to age your characters?
Right.
And I saw a couple of those cartoonists age their characters and run into big trouble. And so I just decided years ago, you know, my books, all the characters kind of edge along. They really are where they were 3 years ago, whereas, you know, actually in real life, 20 years has passed. And so I keep the technology current in the books, but my characters pretty much stay about the same age.
Well, we love it. Real briefly, before we have to take a break, you have an upcoming talk in Merrill. Can you let folks know when that is?
Yes, that's May 14th, and that will be at 6 p.m., and at the Merrill Public Library. I think it's also called the T.B. Scott.
Yes.
Free Library. And so that's next Tuesday. And then also books will be available there, as well as eventually the new book should be easy to find at Yonkees and at Barnes & Noble. And there's a new bookstore in Minocqua, the Shade Tree, and there's a new one opening up in Three Lakes. Got a little tough to find books for a while when Book World closed. But
sure.
Things are opening up. And, of course, I have another son who works for Amazon, so I should probably plug Amazon as well.
Okay. Sounds great. Well, thank you so much, Victoria, for joining us today. The name of her new book is Dead Bulldog. You're going to find it on shelves starting in early June. When we return, Dan Richter of the Marathon County Public Library will be offering up a list of the most highly anticipated reads of the summer, and we're going to take your recommendations too at 800-780-9742. I'm Shereen Seward. This is Route 51 on Wisconsin Public Radio. And we're back on Route 51. I'm Shereen Seawert. Dan Richter of the Marathon County Public Library is with us, talking about the most highly anticipated reads of the summer. We'll take your calls, too, whether you have a recommendation of your own or a question for our guests. The number to call is 800-780-9742. I love playing all of these summer songs because summer is my favorite season of the year, and partly because it gives me a little bit more time for reading. So, Dan, I know you're a huge fan of reading as well, and it really seems like having a big stack of books is just as essential as gearing up for the summer with a vacation rental or a bathing suit or whatever.
Oh, yeah, exactly. When you have a week of downtime ahead of you, you have to find some way to occupy your time, and a book is a really great way just to sit back and relax and just get lost in a good story. A
lot of great books coming out this summer. Mm-hmm. What is at the top of your list?
Well, I'm a little biased because it's at the top of my personal list, so I'm going to try to put it at the top of other people's list as well, too.
That's fair enough.
But it's by an author I really like named Riley Sager, and he has had a book come out every summer since 2017, and they're all suspense, thriller, horror kind of themed, and this one is called Lock Every Door.
Okay.
And it's about a young woman who becomes an apartment sitter for a couple who reside in a really prestigious, historic apartment building in New York City. But she learns as she stays that it might have come with maybe some haunted past residents and guests. And the cool thing about his books are that he is great at character development and kind of doing a slow burn throughout the book. So the suspense and the anticipation really builds, I think. And I cannot wait to finish it. I got an advanced reader's copy, and I've been kind of plowing through it since I got it earlier in the week. And I can't wait to finish it. So I think everyone will enjoy it.
And the name of it again is?
Lock Every Door.
Lock Every Door. Yep. All right. When's it going to be out? Do you know?
Yep. It comes out on July 2nd.
Okay.
And all the books that we'll be talking about today are already in our library catalog at the Marathon County Public Library. So people can start to request it now and get on the waiting list for it. And then when it comes out, the list will start to get gone through and... Yeah,
that's right. So you can actually look and see what's coming out and reserve them ahead of time or get on that list.
Yep. Usually a few months ahead of time for books, about maybe 1 or 2 months, they'll be in the catalog and the books will be on order and people can start to put themselves on the list. So I know I put myself on this one already, too. So I might read it again.
All right. That sounds good. All right. What's next on the list?
Well, the next one is by author Thomas Harris, and he is most famous for writing the Hannibal Lecter series of books.
Ooh.
Yeah. So, you know, Silence of the Lambs, of course, and
sure,
a lot of other ones. But he got his start in the mid-70s with a book called Black Sunday. And since then, he's only written books in the Lecter series. But this book coming out on May 21st, it's called Carrie Mora, is his first standalone. So he's kind of walking away at this point from the Lecter series and doing this new book. And I think the fact that it's something brand new from him is going to be a reason enough to check it out and take a look at it, because it's ending up on a lot of highly anticipated lists, I think, for that very reason.
I did see that book listed. I was doing some research before the show to see, mm-hmm. you know, what is everybody looking for this summer? And that I saw on a number of lists. So,
and Thomas Harris is interesting because he doesn't do a lot of interviews. He's kind of a more private person. So, you know, I think a lot of people don't know what's going on in his head,
right.
And the only
right.
their only interactions with him are through his writing. So his books only come out periodically the way it is. He's not one who pumps one out every year or two. So it's always kind of an event, I feel like, when a book by him comes out and then a whole new kind of concept is pretty noteworthy.
Now, are all of the books that are released for summer, are they also available for digital download, or are just some of them? Or
I think everything on here is by more popular authors, and they all should be available as an ebook format. So whether you buy a copy or you rent one through the library's digital catalog, there's two different apps we have. One's called Libby, one's called Overdrive. They both have identical catalogs and wait times. But yeah, it's a great way too to make your maybe your packing a little bit lighter when you head up north or to Door County or wherever you're going, and put everything on your tablet or your phone.
I was just saying that too before the show. We were talking, and I said I remember going on vacation and taking this huge stack of books with me because I read a ton when I'm on vacation, mm-hmm. and I have to have a suitcase for all the books I take. Yeah. My husband would look at me and say, "What are you doing?" And now at least I can take I can pare that down a little bit.
Yeah, you don't have to check a bag anymore. You can put it all your
That's
put
right.
your tablet in your carry-on.
That's right, exactly. So we are talking about some of the most highly anticipated beach reads of the summer, and you can call us as well. 800-780-9742 is the number to call if you would like to join the conversation. So next on the list, what do we have?
Well, this is by Jennifer Weiner, and she's written a couple different books over the years that have been pretty popular, turned into movies. But she has one coming out called Mrs. Everything, which I really like that title because of the duality of the meaning. So it's about two sisters growing up who grew up in the 50s and kind of follows them through the ensuing decades. And one becomes a more radical and into free love and is very unconventional. And the other one is more straight-laced and traditional. And both kind of later in their lives realize that they're not very happy kind of how their lives turned out. And they've kind of been chasing things or living in service of other people instead of kind of doing what makes them happy. And I think that's kind of interesting. So it's called Mrs. Everything, like MRS period. I think it kind of speaks to the lives of a lot of women. They kind of live in service of other people, maybe their kids or their husbands or their partners, and end up being, you know, a nurse and a housekeeper and a driver and a cook and an employee, and kind of maybe lose themselves and don't always live as selfishly as other people do. And so they end up missing everything in life, living for other people. So I think it's going to be the concept kind of intrigued me, and I think it's going to be different than the first two books that I talked about. So maybe a little bit lighter in some ways, not scary. But I think it'll be kind of neat to see these characters as they grow through life.
Her books are incredibly relatable, and I think that's why they're so popular. Mm-hmm. I know they're favorites of many of my friends who are book enthusiasts as well. So this is definitely going to be at the top of many readers' lists for summer reading, for sure.
Yeah, I think when you can place yourself in a character's shoes or you can relate on some level, it brings, of course, the book to life. But also, I think it grabs you a little bit tighter than one that you can't relate to. Or if you don't like the characters, it still might be a great story, but it just might not grip you the same way. And I think that's the whole thrill of reading, I think, right? It's just getting drawn in.
It's escapism, and there is something about relating to a book that makes it so great to read. That's one of the things that Victoria Houston does so well. Mm-hmm. For people who are familiar with the North Woods, it's one of those elements, that relatability. I do want to let folks know that we will post our list on our website.
Great.
So we'll have the list available for people to refer to as they're building their reading list for the summer. So
cool.
Talking about the best, most anticipated reads of the summer, and maybe we'll throw in some that you might have missed over the years.
Sure.
As well. The number to call if you have a recommendation is 800-780-9742. All right, let's get to the next one on the list.
Well, so everything on the list is fiction, but this one has, I guess, a huge background of nonfiction to it. It's by an author named Ocean Vang, mm-hmm. and he's writing a book called On Earth, We're Briefly Gorgeous, which I really like that title, first off. But he's a poet, and so his background is in poetry, and I always think it's interesting when someone starts writing fiction and they come from a different world, whether it's journalism or poetry or writing for TV or movies, and I think it offers a different perspective than you get from a traditional novelist. And so the subject matter of this book is about a Vietnamese boy and his mother who are refugees, and they stay in a refugee camp in the Philippines and then emigrate into America, which is what his life was like growing up. Him and his mother escaped Vietnam and stayed for a time in the Philippines, and then ended up on the east coast of the U.S., and that's where he grew up. But so it's a fiction book, but it's heavily based on his real life, which I think it will, again, offer something that the other books I mentioned haven't yet. But I think it'd be cool to see what he changes about the characters in his book versus his real life, and how much of that he uses, because I think there's a lot of subject matter there. I mean, that's a lot for a child, anyone to go through, but especially a child in their formative years. So,
oh, that's going to be one on my list, too.
Mm-hmm. And that one comes out on June 4th, so not too long of a wait.
Okay, yeah, that's coming up. There is a nonfiction book on my list that I wanted to talk about, too. It's called Three Women by Lisa Tadeo. It's been called a nonfiction literary masterpiece. I had a Ooh. Chance to read an advanced copy, and it's incredible. It's over the course of an 8-year span. The author just kind of unveils the lives of three real women living in the United States. There's a housewife, there's an entrepreneur, and then there's a high school student. And their stories are told in this just incredible way. And it's my nonfiction pick for the summer, I will say. So again, that's Three Women by Lisa Tadeo. So
Sounds good.
Yeah, I just want to throw that one in there too. So yeah,
I always think it's interesting peeking into the lives of people, especially you know, it's fun with celebrities and people we all know, but when you discover, you know, these amazing stories of seemingly everyday people, I think that's again something that really grips me as a reader, because you know, you never know what the story that the person who walks next to you carries with them. And it's kind of fun to peek into someone's life.
It is, really. And you think about it, that there are so many stories to be told, so many real stories to be told. Everybody that we see on the street has a story. You mm-hmm. have a story. I have a story. We all have things that have happened to us. And so I think fiction and nonfiction can be just as gripping as fiction if it's written in the right way.
Oh, definitely.
Absolutely. All right. Well, let's have one more before we take a break. What's next on your list?
Oh, the next one is The Nickel Boys, and it comes out on July 16th, and it's by Colson Whitehead. And people might recognize that name from The Underground Railroad, which he wrote a few years back. It won a National Book Award. It was on Oprah's it's in Oprah's book club. And so that one took a look at the Underground Railroad, of course, during the Civil War. But this one, Nickel Boys, takes another look at sort of racism and the African-American experience in America, but in the early 1960s in Florida. And it's about a young man who is arrested, and he is he goes to this Nickel Academy, which is supposed to be sort of a juvenile reform academy to teach moral training and civility to the inmates there. But really, he experiences physical abuse and sexual abuse and other horrors while he's there. Fiction based on real life experiences, however, of people. So I think that'll be something that's just, again, really gripping. And though it's fiction, you know, it's based on things that have actually happened in history. And I think it makes you really kind of take a look at that period and reevaluate it a little bit.
Absolutely. That is one book that's on my – it's not on my list that I have here today, but it's one book that I had read an advanced review of, and it just looks incredible.
Mm-hmm.
So
yeah, Colson Whitehead has a great way of tapping into that and running with it.
Absolutely. Dan Richter is our guest today from the Marathon County Public Library. This is Route 51. We're talking about the best reads of the summer. When we return, we're going to offer up some more recommendations for you. We'll be sure to post those on our website as well. You can join the conversation, give us your recommendations, or ask us some questions by calling 800-780-9742. I'm Shereen Seward. This is Route 51 on Wisconsin Public Radio. And we're back on Route 51. I'm Shereen Seward with Dan Richter of the Marathon County Public Library. We're discussing the best summer reads of the year. We're going to take your recommendations and questions, too, if you'd like to call us. The number is 800-780-9742. So we've talked about a lot of new releases that are coming out this
yep.
summer. I know we have more that are creating a lot of buzz, but do you have some other titles that have come out over the past year that you were thinking might be good?
Well, one that I read recently, it came out in early April, that I'm very, very excited about, is called Maybe You Should Talk to Someone, and it's nonfiction. It's by a therapist who she's in her 40s, and her boyfriend of 2 years breaks up with her, and she is sort of surprised at how bad she's taking it. She's just devastated. She didn't see it coming, and so she starts to see a therapist herself. And so the book alternates between her sessions with her therapist and then sessions that she has with her own patients. And there's 4 or 5 different patients that you really get to know throughout the book. And I think it's one of my favorite books I've ever read. I think it makes you, by reading other people's stories, like we've said before with nonfiction, it kind of makes you reexamine, I think, your own life. Mm-hmm. And it was so fascinating seeing the duality between being a patient and being the therapist and what's kind of going through their heads while they're listening to people's stories. And then what she is thinking about when she's telling, you know, pouring out her every thought to her therapist. So that one, I can't gush about it enough. I really, really loved it.
You were telling me about that, and mm-hmm. it's on my list now. So I'm definitely going to be reading that one too. I just finished Daisy Jones and the Six.
That was my other one.
Oh, okay, good. I just finished it last night, actually. Taylor Jenkins Reid wrote this. It's a pretty buzzy novel. It's mm-hmm. And it's kind of loosely based on the Fleetwood Mac story.
Yeah.
Yep. Which makes it, I mean, if you're a classic mm-hmm. rock fan or you're a fan of Stevie Nicks and Fleetwood Mac, this is a must read.
Yeah, there's a lot of territory there. Fleetwood Mac, of course, is legendary and for its interpersonal relationships and music. And so, yeah, I thought this was also really, really great and give you a really good vibe of that time, that era of music.
Yeah, for sure. And it's written in a really interesting way because they go back and forth. She goes back and forth between everybody's point of view. Like every character gets this person is saying this, and then it jumps back and forth. And sometimes their memories of what has happened are quite different yep. from one another. So that's really fascinating too. But so that's definitely one that I recommend.
Yeah, and those I think it's just that you can talk, like you said, with the interviews in the book, you can talk to three different people and get a completely different take on what actually happened. And that's the fun part about writing and storytelling is that I think it never gets old.
Right. It never gets old, for sure. One book that I think if you liked Girls on, or Woman on the Train, mm-hmm. remember, and that was a big, big hit.
Yep.
The Woman in the Window. Have you read that one? A.J. Finn. It's kind of a modern reimagining of the old film Rear Window,
mm-hmm.
Very much in that same vein of Paula Hawkins' Girl on the Train. And I think this is a fantastic read. It's been out for a while, but mm-hmm. but that's one I think that could make the summer reading list.
Yeah, it's new in paperback. And I think like you hit the nail right on the head. It has some suspense, that kind of Rear Window evoked, but also this unreliable narrator that the girl on the train had. And those I always think are fun because they keep you guessing what's real, what's not, what's maybe a hallucination or I think, yeah, it keeps you gripped, definitely.
Oh, for sure. For sure. All right. What's next on your list of must reads for the summer?
Well, this one is a little bit lighter. So it's more of like a feel good kind of fluff, fun read for the summer. So if you want something a little bit.
You got to have that.
Yeah,
right?
Definitely. Yeah. It's by Elizabeth Gilbert, who a lot of people might recognize from Eat, Pray, Love. But she also writes a lot of fiction as well. And this one's called City of Girls. Comes out June 4th. And it's a period fiction story. It takes place in the New York City theater scene in the first half of the 1900s. And it's about a 19-year-old who moves to the city. She wants to break into showbiz. So there's kind of all of the classic kind of showbiz characters that people would probably know and recognize, like the kind of grand dame established actress who kind of doesn't want to abdicate her throne, and the kind of heartthrob actor, and kind of the more maybe promiscuous, fun showgirls who maybe broaden her worldview a little bit and help her find, herself as a woman. So I think this would be a fun period read.
I think so, too. City of Girls is on my list as well because I loved Eat, Pray, Love.
Mm-hmm.
And I can't imagine she'll put out something that I won't like. I mean, it's just one of those things, right?
Well, it just sounds – yeah, it sounds fun. We've all gone through kind of a coming of age, and that's what this sounds like it is. And there's a little bit of love story in there and the entertainment world, as Victoria kind of touched on before, is, I mean, there are kind of sharks in the water sometimes. There's people trying to get ahead of one another. So that's a fun aspect to this, too. Maybe the character's a little naive at the beginning. So I think it'd be fun to follow that character and kind of see where she ends up.
Yeah, absolutely. Again, I want to remind our listeners that we will be posting a list of these books so you can have them handy as you're building your reading list. We'll have that on our website at npr.org/route51. What's next on the Summer Beach Read list?
Oh, this one, again, I really like the title a lot. It's How Not to Die Alone.
Ooh, okay.
But it's fiction. It's actually a kind of a romantic comedy book, and it's by a first-time novelist. His name is Richard Roper, and he used to be a nonfiction editor. So, again, I like when people kind of break into the business having written and done other things, because it gives you a fresh writing style and voice. But this one's about a public health worker who for years he's kind of led on to his coworkers and his friends that he has a happy family. He goes home to his partner and kids every night. In reality, he goes home and he lives alone, and he kind of doesn't want to get his heart broken. He doesn't want to fall in love. And then all of a sudden he has a new coworker, and he kind of falls head over heels for her, but he doesn't really know what to do because everyone thinks that he's happily married and he has a family. And so he doesn't want to kind of out himself as a liar.
Right.
But he doesn't want to miss his chance with this, you know, with this girl. So he kind of is caught in the middle of what to do. And so that kind of premise intrigues me to begin with.
Me too. I mean, how do you get out of a hole that you've dug for yourself to protect yourself when things change in your life?
So I guess he's a kind of a pathological liar with a heart of gold, maybe.
So that I like that description for sure. I hadn't heard of that one yet. Mm-hmm. I got to ask you, is the new Margaret Atwood book on your list, The Testament?
It is not, but because I kind of cut myself off at August. I know that one comes out kind of in September, but that would be a great book to look forward to. People love The Handmaid's Tale.
I know. I just can't wait. And well, summer, officially ends in August, I suppose, for Wisconsin people, right? But I know that is one of the most anticipated books of the year.
Yeah, I mean, I think a whole new generation of people have read the Handmaid's Tale because of the Hulu series. But the fact that she came out, I mean, I think 30 years later since it was published with a sequel now is huge news.
Yeah, I mean, I can't wait to find out what happens. Mm-hmm. It's just incredible. We're talking about the most anticipated beach reads of the summer. The number to call if you'd like to join the conversation is 800-780-9742. Dan Richter is our guest. What's next on your list?
Well, for any sci-fi lovers, there's an author, Blake Crouch, who a few years back came out with a book called Dark Matter, and it was really trippy about alternate realities and things like that. And so this one, it's called Recursion, and it's about a New York City cop and a neuroscientist who kind of work together to try to quarantine this kind of psychological syndrome called false memory syndrome, where it kind of implants people with memories they think that they've had but they've never experienced, or they see things that aren't really there. So it's kind of – it reminds me of Bird Box a little bit, that book or that movie. Or kind of it drives people mad because they don't really know how to deal with these memories. Some of them are painful or tragic, and but they're all kind of artificial intelligence. They're not real, so they kind of team up to try to stop this from spreading. And he does a really great job of getting into characters' minds. So there's a psychological aspect, there's the sci-fi futuristic aspect, and he does sci-fi very, very well. So anyone who kind of who likes sci-fi, even fantasy, I think would really like this book.
Oh, that sounds really interesting too. Mm-hmm. All right. Okay, what's next on the list?
There's a book called The Most Fun We've Ever Had. It comes out in June, on June 25th.
It's Claire Lombardo.
Yep.
Yes, looking forward to this one.
Yeah, and it's so, again, sort of similar to Mrs. Everything. It follows, this time, a family over several decades, a parents and then four of their children. And, again, each daughter turns out drastically different from one another. But it kind of chronicles the ups and downs and daily lives of this family. And those, I think, are fun because you can really get attached to the characters when you follow them over several decades. And again, you can maybe see yourself in one of them or identify someone that you know in one of them. And a lot of people seem to like books like this that are maybe there's no huge inciting event that starts the book, but it just kind of follows everyday people. It's kind of like peeking in. It's a little voyeuristic, I think.
I think anyone who has siblings can kind of you know, they're attracted mm-hmm. to that kind of book because kids are all different in the yep. family. I mean, my children could not be more different from one another. I could not be more different from my siblings as well. And so when you read books like that and see about those kinds of differences, I think we can all relate a little bit to
totally.
That.
Yep. I totally agree. And this, you know, a lot's changed over 4 years. So I think it will follow them through definitely technological changes and probably ideological changes. I mean, families sometimes get torn apart over politics or social issues. And so I'm sure there's the content like that in this book, too, where I think it'll be highly, highly relatable.
Yeah, I think those kinds of storylines kind of highlight how complicated it can be to love the people who are the closest to you.
Definitely.
Despite all of your differences. So I think that's going to be a great read this summer.
Mm-hmm. I agree.
Yeah. All right. How about another one?
Well, the last one on my list is called The Bride Test, and it's by Helen Huang. She had a book last year called The Kiss Quotient, which was very popular. It's, again, more of a light read. It's a romance, kind of fun. And she always has really quirky, very unique characters, which I think is refreshing when you don't want the same, you know, storylines over again. So she has written this book, The Bride Test, and it's about a Vietnamese woman who falls in love with a man with autism. And he is very blatant in saying, you know, I can never return your feelings. I don't feel that way. My mind doesn't work that way. So, you know, thank you, but it's not going to happen.
Wow.
And she doesn't want to give up. She has really fallen for him. And it sounds like, based on the synopsis, that she continues to pursue that and kind of work with him on kind of feeling his emotions and working through things that don't really come naturally to him.
Wow, that's going to be a good one too. I think anybody who has a friend or a relative or a child with autism or has been in a relationship with somebody who has autism will be able to really relate to that book.
Definitely. And the synopsis kind of reminded me of another book that came out a few years ago called The Rosie Project. And it's about a scientist who with autism who basically comes up with an equation for the perfect mate. Mm-hmm. And he meets a woman who totally could not be different from the equation. She breaks every barrier and every kind of standard he has set for what he would want in the ideal mate. And it kind of follows their relationship as his walls are broken down and hers are too. And so that's another one. If you liked The Rosie Project, I would say The Bride Test would probably be one that you'll enjoy as well.
That sounds good. And these books, again, we want to remind folks that these books are all available at the public library. Many are available for download.
Yep.
Okay. So at various branches throughout.
Yep. We have 9 locations throughout Marathon County. Also, we're part of a larger library system, so we're connected to libraries in Eagle River and Crandon and Three Lakes and Colby. So we all trade books and send things back and forth. So you get much more than what's just at the 9 Marathon County Public Library locations. But we also have the digital library, which is free to sign up with your library card. When your time is up with each book, it just kind of disappears from your device, so there are no fines or late fees with the digital content.
Which is a bonus for me because I always end up keeping them too long.
Oh, yeah. Same. So. I mean, when you have just a couple pages left and you need to finish it, you want to keep it longer, I do the same thing.
Yeah.
So.
Absolutely. Yes. There are a couple of books that I've read this year that I thought were really outstanding, and I would like to recommend this one as well, The Age of Light by Whitney Scherer. And it came out earlier this year. I just finished it. It was a Book of the Month Club selection a couple of months ago. And it follows this young model as she moves to Paris. She becomes an artist during the Jazz Age. So anybody
fun.
Who's a fan of that kind of period, she develops this romance with an older artist. But it's not a romance book. It goes far beyond that because she goes on to document concentration camps during World War II as one of the first female war correspondents, and then it goes into her old age. But I mean, it's really, really an incredible book.
Yeah.
So yeah, that's the Age of Light by Whitney Scherer. Again, we're going to be putting this list together, and we'll put this on our website, wpr.org/route51. That's our website. So you can watch for For that list to go up. We'll have that up shortly and make sure that people have access to all of these reads, because I know people are scribbling things down and you don't always remember.
Oh, yeah.
Wait, what was that book? What was that book that I really wanted to hear? Right.
Working at the library, my list only grows and grows and grows, and I realize I'll never be able to get through the whole thing. But it's that's one good thing, is you never run out of something to read.
Well, that's for sure. I would think that you never ever run out of things to read. There's probably too much, in fact. Mm-hmm. But well, that is all the time we have today on Route 51. I'm Shereen Seewert. I'd like to thank our guests, Victoria Houston and Dan Richter. Our executive producer is Rick Ryer. Rick is also our on-air producer today. Special music today from Seals and Crofts, The Surfers, Jay Ferguson, and Mungo Jerry. Thanks to John Altenberg for the Route 51 theme. You can hear the archive of today's program at WPR.org/Route51. Next week, we'll welcome a state lawmaker, a local prosecutor, and a Wisconsin public radio reporter to discuss the most recent push to criminalize first-time DUI offenses. Until then, we're heading out of town. In the summertime, when the weather is high, you can stretch right up and